This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Feels good to be back. Doesn't it feel good to be back?
I didn't realize he was away.
I was away for a long time.
Yeah, see?
Okay.
So feels good to be back. Sometimes you could just take it and roll with it, right?
In improv,
we call that yes and. Just do a yes and.
But in my mind, I didn't realize it was that long. That's why I said let it pause.
Is that pause worthy? All right,
don't worry
about it. Welcome to the Accredited Powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, and I realize now that after weeks of these two complaining, we now miss all of the patriotic decorations in the studio.
I didn't realize I was on the back of the door. I supposed to introduce myself. I'm Ricardo, and I need to find him from the white when they put this thing on the back of the door.
And I'm John Mark, and Ricardo's enjoying a delicious beverage, and that could be a potential sponsor for the show.
They can't sponsor. Let me explain something.
But not them. Someone can.
Okay.
I just said it was a delicious beverage.
This particular company, it should never take you 20 to 25 minutes to get a cup of just black coffee. You have a line out the door. You taking all kind of sandwich and food order.
What was your number?
I was like 40-something.
So you know there was 40-something people before you.
Yeah,
so
I like that.
You know the Bahamas, they have to.
No, man. They're getting all these complex food orders and things. I just want some coffee.
Let me stop you right there, good sir.
Go ahead.
If they willing to sponsor, I don't care how long it takes for them to give any cup of coffee.
Fair point.
That means absolutely nothing in terms of this.
They also sell coffee that you could grind and put in your machine.
Yeah, so to all coffee companies out there, we like coffee on this show. Reach out.
Actually, you know what? I got to put that on the wheel of issues.
I'm saying, I used to work for said company in the States.
Yeah.
I was a manager at one of those stores.
I need to hear this now.
But... So what we used to do in the morning at these places is we used to have the thermos.
You've reached his wheelhouse.
Yeah, this is, yes. This is the reason why it won't work here, because people could just take advantage of it. You used to buy the cup, they give you the cup, and you would just fill it up yourself, and then you would leave.
No, we walk away with the thermos. Smart move. Don't bring that here.
Do your job.
If you want to join the conversation today, telephone lines open at 323.
By the way, not this conversation. We're not going to talk about this. We're going to actually talk about other things.
323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. Toll free from the family islands at 242-300-5720. Text lines are also open, powered by BTC 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Standard text rate supply. Oh my God.
So we got a lot going on today, guys. As you know, the NFL has started. So we could do an entire show on just football alone, and we will when you listen to the 10th Year Seniors Podcast Network, available wherever you get your podcasts on SoundCloud, Apple, or Spotify. But that's not this platform. First half, we're going to talk about some things near and dear to our hearts. We have so many things that we need to talk about, and what do we do when we have many issues to get to? We have constructed in the studio. It is a major construction
project. This is the issue with the game, the last time.
Usually, when we construct projects... John is the spearhead of 10th Year Seniors.
Might take 3 years, but this one was quick.
John was away, so I had to construct the Wheel of Issues here in the studio by myself. It's like a traditional wheel you've seen on any game show. It's very rudimentary, but it gets the job done. So here's the format of the Wheel of Issues.
Wheel of Issues.
And this is why you missed John.
I will...
It only makes sense.
Stockton and Malone. Pippen and Jordan. Kobe and Shaq. Anyway, so we will give our list of topics on the Wheel of Issues that we want to discuss. They are on the wheel. We will spin the wheel. We will tell the public where it lands, and then we will discuss what is on the wheel. So on the Wheel of Issues today, we have the World Athletics Championships team currently in Japan. They are about to start competition next week. We have college football. We got, I would say, highlight about 5 Bahamians at major D1 programs that we could talk about. We have Jazz reaching a new level of superstar status in New York. And sports marketing in the Bahamas. Boy, I feel like we could go a whole hour on that.
We can need 2 shows for that.
Yeah. That one is there for a very specific purpose, but that is on the wheel. So we will spin the Wheel of Issues now, and John will tell me where it lands.
Wheel of issues. It's taking long.
14 seconds for the wheel to spin. John, where did the wheel of issues land?
Conveniently, the World Athletics.
The World Athletics Championships.
I would have gotten it wrong.
There's no where it lands. You that say is what names. We talk about. You see the you see.
We're gonna the next week. Ricardo's gonna be on the wheel of issues.
You see,
he tried to set me on this whole idea of building a physical wheel. It's like there's no actual wheel. He's like there is a wheel. So yeah, go ahead. Tell the people.
Theater of the mind. The people that are listening on the audio medium. I actually really like
that
Ludacris
album. That was a pretty good album.
Theater of the mind. The people listening on the audio medium. I am painting the picture for them. I am weaving the tapestry that there is a wheel of issues that was just spun and it landed on the world championship team in Tokyo, Japan. Now, as we look at the makeup of this team, obviously, there are two major names that are not there for two very different reasons. Shawnee Miller-Weibo still working her way back, not to the form that many of us have expected or what we've been accustomed to. Steven Gardner, obviously not there for completely different reasons. After the tragedy that befell him and his family, no one can blame him for that. He, whatever time he needs to take a step back away from the track, that is absolutely understandable. But who is on this team, I think you obviously have to look at the Charlton sisters, the leaders of this team now moving forward. You have Devin, obviously everything that she's done in the hurdles, world record holder in the 60, the 100 is a different race. It's probably the most competitive race in track and field right now. And then the star climb of Antheo over the course of the last year. And she's not going to be competing in both. We've wondered about that. But I saw she was answering questions on social media.
Yeah, she's just doing the 100.
Yeah, just going to do the 100 because the times do not align for her to do the 100 and the long jump. And in addition to them, the javelin getting to the point where it is now, I think, is a major deal because now you have Keyshawn Strawn and Rima O'Tabor. So the javelin, there was a point where it was just Laverne Eve going to these events because going to the Olympics. And now you have Keyshawn and Rima there. So
and Culmer's back with Bahamas has been successful in with triple jump.
And you have Kaiwan Culmer, whose story is amazing, by the way. But those are just a few of the things we're going to talk about the world championship teams for a minute. But John, what are you looking forward to the most?
Oh, I thought I was going to say the issues right now.
No, on the wheel of issues, we just pick the topic and then we take it and run with it. So yeah, the topic that we pick, go ahead.
I'm going to go with the issue first before we go with the thing.
Tell us the issue.
My issue is how you can name a 12-man team and then name three people later. Why can't you just name the 15 one time?
I think that was a World Athletics thing. I don't know the exact details behind it.
I understand, but if you know, I do know people dropped out and you were able to add people in. But you could always just tell people, because I do this at basketball all the time. Man, you get the list when you get the list.
John, I know everybody privileged like you to be able to do that, though.
No, that makes sense, though.
It does.
No, sometimes we don't release a roster until everyone arrives to said location.
I know. There are many people that would get mad at them for
that's
that.
That's what I got to say. So John would be like, okay, you mad, cool. Everybody else can take that kind of friction.
They should, like, because honestly, what are you going to do? As someone that's been in the media for a very long time, like, what you could do other than wait until they tell you who's on the team?
You got to wait to see who's on the team.
I mean, look.
Because I feel like it takes a thunder away a little bit from the people who got named last second, right?
Oh, the second.
Yeah, so the second time. So I feel the respect should always be you name everyone at once, regardless. Even if World Athletics released the list, the 12, you could say that's the provisional list.
Yes. Yeah, I get it. And so there were initially...
Because there are deadlines. So it ain't like you don't know what the deadline is. You know by X date, we will know if our 15 people go.
But I got to tell you, them three who get named, take it from 12 to 15. Boy, they feel so good. Feel amazing.
But I feel like that they need to have the same... Like,
have their moment the same time.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we didn't get to post their pictures.
Mm. And we had pictures of them.
And we had pictures of everybody. Didn't get to post their pictures.
Full comprehensive coverage.
When does the meet actually start?
September 13th to the 21st. World Athletics Championships in Tokyo. Of course, the Bahamas has a very strong history at the World Championships. We're at the point where we are so spoiled that, of course, we expect to do great things. Of course, we expect to medal. That's where we are right now. That's where we are right now.
More real issues?
Yeah.
Don't expect to win a medal this time. I know we have a shot, But don't think that we going in to win the medal. Remember, making the final is a big accomplishment.
That's your top eight in the world. See, I find nothing wrong with the expectation of that. I think our problem lies with...
When you don't get it, you don't get the support that you get if you win. And if it ain't gold, then you're not getting supported. It's just like, I'll never forget, what was it, when Shawnee got silver in that world championships and home girl who cheated won the race, right? She rolling again, so you know. I'm like, I know about that.
Don't believe it.
Anyways, I remember when we posted that she won the silver, everyone's like, yeah, okay.
See,
it's just like, what?
That's the bigger issue. The reaction to when you don't reach the podium, right? And then we have to put the entire thing.
The top of the podium.
We have to put the entire thing in perspective and be like, well, yeah, we've been overachieving for a very long time. Like, I understand that and I get that, but let's actually look at this with the perspective. They still achieve great things. Like, for me, I'm looking at both of the javelin events as top on my list, because wherever they end up, I feel like that is so indicative of the throwing program in the country really working its way back from the ground. Whatever happens with them now, they're basically playing with house money.
And javelin's always a wild card. Like, you don't know who's going to go out there and win javelin. I understand people have thrown 90, people have thrown 85. But sometimes you get that one throw and that's your day.
Like, Rima's an NCAA champ. She's an NCAA record holder. Like, she's not a slouch in any of these competitions.
Yep.
Like Keyshawn is still on his way. He's still ascending too. So they can have those moments. They can shock some people there in the field. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And Thea being in the one. So obviously long jump, well, she's given voice to this. We're not even speculating. Long jump, her favorite event.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking forward to see what she does in this 100, because she's one of
very few women. You think she breaks the national record?
That's what's on the table. She's very few women in the world have gone sub 11. Very few Bahamians have gone sub 11.
And that's how spoiled we are as just track and field. When we had Debbie, Pauline.
That was so Sandra, amazing at that time.
You know what I'm saying?
It didn't even make sense that we had three of them in the final.
In the final. And of course, 7, 8, 7, 6. But Jamaica.
It's my people.
But it's just like, we're so used to it that now that it's coming back. I mean, we grew up in the era where it was like we always had a 4x400 meter men's team, right? And we always had the women's in the 100. Now it's changed that when Tonique came, she was 400. So we're used to seeing the 100. I don't know why we're not more successful in the 100.
That's a question to ask our pretty smart track people. So before we get off the world champs team, I do want to talk about Kaiwan Kullmer, right? So the reason that I talked about his story being so compelling is that all of these other people, they're either students or their day job is track. Well, his is not. So he's somebody that went through, gave up on this sport, but at the same time, I got a career I got to attend to, right? So he's doing both at the same time, multitasking, and had the best year of his career. Amazing, amazing, the fact that, and qualified here at home, mm-hmm. qualified for the world championships here at home at nationals. So looking forward to what all of the team is going to do, but just wanted to highlight those few athletes in particular. And again, we will spin the wheel of issues to see what's on there. John, you need me to remind you what's on the list? Oh, all right. You remember. See, because you know how to play wheel of issues.
This is right there.
Carlo just over there drinking his beverage.
I hate the fact that he pointed over there. It's like, it's right there.
Right there.
Thank you, John. Spin the wheel of issues. There we go.
Wheel of issues.
That got to be like 39 seconds.
14.
I know for a very specific fact that the wheel spins for 14 seconds. John, what did we land on?
Jazz Chisholm Jr.
Jazz Chisholm Jr.'s star climb. It's just amazing, right? It's just amazing. And there were people that I think questioned. And we talked a lot about this last year because there were people that questioned how would this work in New York, and it got even better in year two. It seems like, and this week in particular, he was setting miles. It's not just adjusted. This seems like it's where he belongs. Every other week, setting a new milestone. 25 homers, 25 stolen bases. Only the seventh Yankee to do that. And when you think of the New York, this is probably the most storied franchise in American sports. And only 7 people have done it.
Not the Cowboys?
That whole America's team is a made-up marketing thing with people like Carter come up with. They're not America's team. Anyway,
only the seventh to do it, and now just so close to the 30-30 mark, and he would only be the fourth Yankee to do it, or maybe the fifth. Anyway, so the bigger issue here is, before we get into everything, we need you to stay healthy, because what happened against the Astros with the two knee contusions is like, all right, somebody is playing a really cruel trick on us. I need you to stay healthy because 33.
Not one, but both knees.
Both like, knees? On. I was like, Jose Altuve, what are you doing? Because who slides like this? Anyway, so Jazz right now stands at 28 homers, 26 stolen bases. He could get this done in a week. We just need him to stay healthy.
A week, yeah. Two home runs, stolen bases.
We've seen him hit two home runs.
He's had three stolen bases in one game.
Yeah, we've seen him do multiple games.
Y'all disrespect. Here's the issue I have.
He can do this in two games.
My wheel of issues. Ricardo's the issue now.
Ricardo's the issue.
Because it's just like, because I think this was the Mets? Oh, my God. It would have been the greatest thing.
So hold on. Let me just defend this right quick.
Please.
For the Mets, the wheels have fallen off. So I can't say, the Yankees made it to the World Series last year. I can't take that again. I can't. Yeah, they lost. I can't.
I remind you that Josh Chisholm plays for the Yankees. The standard bearer of Bahamian baseball at the moment plays for the Yankees.
That's coming close now.
Oh, yeah. We can get to that.
I know if
he
I can.
He's a hater, man.
What is wrong with you? You know how you always do the extreme homer thing where you say, yeah, but he could score 50 or something like that. This one wasn't even strange for you saying he could get that in this very next game. Like, he can hit two homers.
No, he didn't say... He said he could do all this over the course of a... Well, you said over the course of a week.
That's being generous.
That's like five games.
What are their schedule next week?
Five games.
Doesn't matter. Okay. He's had games where he's hit... He just had a multi-homer game last week.
Yeah. Two home runs.
Two home runs.
So over the course of four games or five games, you mean to tell
five.
Me it's...
They have five next week.
You think it's unforeseeable that Josh gets a two home 15 runs
at bats.
And steal four bases?
Four bases where I had a little bit of concern. I know he could do it. I'm just saying, like... Okay.
Right, see, they were, and I know what this is, right? The Yankees were holding him back the year before.
Right.
No, they were holding him back from stealing as many bags because of the risk injury.
Right.
I mean, the injury risk, which makes sense. And I get it because he's such an important part of that lineup. But now when you're that close to reaching the milestone.
Then they just take the training wheels off and say, Josh,
go. Oh, you got to let him go. Right. But now how does the knee contusion thing play into that?
Home run.
Oh. I'll tell you now. I know
he walking around the bases. He didn't need a run.
No, he want the 30-30.
I know he want the 30-30.
Because when you get the 30-30.
But he
got
to hit them two home runs, and when his knees get to 100, then he could go for it.
Then he'll be. You know what it was? It was like Shohei. Last year when Shohei was trying to go for the 50-50, he was stealing whatever.
We got
to
remember, right? Jazz has always been a team player.
Yeah.
Jazz knows.
To a fault.
The important thing right now is to win games.
Yeah.
So if they get in a position where all of a sudden it's like, we're in the playoffs, I got some games where I could, you know, go crazy. He can have three stolen bases one game and it'd be like, oh, look at that, 30-30.
And I think that seems like the more likely thing to happen, because obviously the home run is the more difficult thing to get.
Right? Yeah.
And so like after those, because you
could
go
push the stealing base agenda.
Yeah, you could go in a stretch where you in a slump.
Yeah.
But you just want to get those two homers out of the way to breathe that sigh of relief, and then we could focus on stealing these four bags.
Pay that man.
Get that done. And then we get to the next step. After that, when you have that on the resume.
At minimum, $100 million.
I'm thinking no less than 190.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he's going to be close to a $200 million guy.
I feel like Jazz needs to have $100 million and then add 90.
Great song.
Yeah.
Carter.
I'm not going to play this game.
I just wanted you to help us
he
do the show.
Didn't spin the wheel.
Yeah, I didn't even spin the wheel. You don't, all right, so we're going to spin the wheel. I think we only get time to spin the wheel for one more before we get to the half, but we'll spin the wheel of issues one more time before the half. Such great ingenuity by 10YS. Cardo, where did the wheel of issues stop?
I don't know.
Well, let me tell you something. This wheel of issues has changed because there was a wild card spot. We've hit the wild card spot of today's show.
Wheel of issues,
surprises.
Wild card.
Are you going to remove the panel to show us the wild card spot? What's in the spot?
The spot is Why did that woman take away that baseball from that little boy?
Why did she? So if you haven't seen this video, this was at the Phillies game. And we all know what happens when a foul ball goes into the crowd. It's a free-for-all.
Free-for-all.
Right? There was a father that recovered the foul ball for his son, gave it to his son. Great memory that they are going to take with them forever.
And it was his son's birthday.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know that fact. I did not know that fact.
Yes. It was his birthday.
Kaizen's birthday is on Tuesday, and if I got a foul ball for him, I would have... Anyway, I forget me on the radio and not on a podcast.
But it was his birthday.
But I mean, I'm just saying. And so this woman comes over. She approaches the guy. First of all, one of my favorite parts of the video was how surprised that man was that she actually approached. He looked legitimately flabbergasted. And she goes on a rant about how he took it from her and it belonged
to her.
Did
you see the other video with the audio that you could hear
what she said? No, I didn't hear the audio.
All right, so what she said is, it was in my hands and you took it out of my hands. And then she's like, it was in my seat area, not your seat area.
What seat area do you have unless you're sitting in a skybox in a suite? But before she went to the game, did she not know the foul ball rules? Possession is 9/10. Once you get it and you see in football, like that's what it is. Anyway, so.
The ruling on the field is that little boy's baseball.
Yeah. And I think everyone agrees with that. So anyway, the dad said, you know what? To protect my peace, to avoid all this, I ain't trying to hear no noise out of my head. Here, just take it. You have the fireball.
I could tell.
John wasn't giving that up.
If he married, he has a happy wife. That's all I know. Because he just say, you know what? I'm not even going to take this chafing at all. Take this and leave.
I didn't think of it from that perspective. That man has probably trained for that moment. For years.
Without realizing.
For years.
I'm very much interested in hearing the actual audio of her saying that it was in my area, my seat area.
Yeah.
I need to understand the rules
behind
that.
Because what justification could you possibly have for that?
I didn't know you could get a Karen over a foul ball. That's wild to me.
Yeah. So anyways.
Seat area?
Shout out to the Marlins, because as soon as they saw it, they gave him a gift package.
Oh, I know. The Phillies are actually going to.
No,
the Phillies
invited him after the game, and he got signed baseball bat. So everything worked out for the kid. But that's embarrassing. Like, I understand if you catch a baseball. Like, I would catch a baseball. And there's a kid next to me, I'll be like, whatever. I don't need this baseball, right? Like, it's just the. It ain't like it's a 500 home run.
It was a very benign ball. This was not a milestone of any. Listen, even if it's that, if you lose the ball, you lose the ball. I don't care if it was in your possession.
That's like saying when you drop the baseball and home run onto the field and say, hey, no, that's mine because I touched it.
I caught it.
No, the MLB people are going to go authenticate it and say, here you go. We're going to put this somewhere else. But yeah, no, the Marlins made good. They gave him like a bag with $1 million because that's baseball stadium prices, right?
Nice, yeah. Close
and then he got baseball bats and stuff from the Phillies. So everything was right. And it was his birthday. Yeah, like, come on now.
Guys, you need to go catch a foul ball and have someone take it. We could plan this up.
I hate the fact that y'all thought about it exactly.
Ooh, especially America. I take it from y'all.
Yeah.
Oh.
Play the race card.
Yes.
That may work in your favor in this climate.
I kind of worried about that.
But initially when I saw it, I thought her immediate frustration was just because she thought he stole it, that he was taking it from her. So I think if she recognized the kid like right away.
No, Carter.
No.
He was literally, his son was standing in front of him.
She took it out the kid's
hand. Right. But what I'm saying is.
Because what the dad did, as soon as he got back to
the seat,
he gave it right to his son.
But I think at that point, she was done like in her rage motion. So she couldn't like just, he's giving it to
the kid. I don't care how much of rage motion you have. If you see a kid with the ball, it ain't like the dad took it like the tennis thing where the guy took the hat from the kid. Type thing, but that's 9/10 of the law. Like the guy just put the tennis player put the hat up, and the guy took it, and the kid's like, oh. But then the kid got sorted. The guy, helped found him. But at the end of the day, it's like, oh, it's a kid.
I just didn't know. I thought Karening was from between races. I didn't know Karening applied straight across the board to everyone.
It's a Marlins ticket that probably cost $2.96.
I feel like Jordan know the price specifically.
Oh, ball tickets low though. They low.
Like, in the outfield?
No, why?
That might have been buy a Slurpee, get a ticket for free.
He was probably giving them away at 7-Eleven. That's what I say. They're just trying to get anybody. So we are going to go into the half. When we come back, we will
great,
continue.
Great segment.
We will continue. We got one more on the wheel of issues that we got to get to, and then we'll talk football the rest of the way. We'll be back after the break.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You try to rest, but go with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Nothing beats a Chicchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action to thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chicchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chicchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChicchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
The new Guardian Radio Sunday is here. With a full day of diverse programming, kicking off with the first and last word in sports, The Press Box with Naughty and Earl the Pearl, followed by Temple Time, Caribbean and Urban American gospel hits, Vital Voices, Sisters in Christ, and Your Lane with Coach Trish Hanna, Remark with Garth Roseborough. Let's talk together in English with Lady T, Sunday starting at 11 a.m. right here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio 90 News. Smart talk all day.
Welcome back to The Accredited, powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, and I feel like a different man since the NFL is back.
I'm Ricardo. That's a weird way to put it, but I did miss football.
We all feel different. Go ahead, John.
I'm John Mark, and conveniently we spun the wheel in halftime, and it landed on our last topic.
Well, let's spill it.
You want to spin it again?
Yeah, let's do the last topic, or we can do football.
We're going to do the last topic and football.
Find me which one first. Because I feel like you go straight to the wheel. Let's go.
You just wanted to spin it again so we could hear.
Wheel of issues.
Oh, God.
John, where did we land?
Sports marketing in the Bahamas.
A topic near and dear to our hearts.
Boy.
Hold on. We actually got a caller.
Okay.
Caller, go ahead. You are with the accredited.
Hello. I'd like to comment on that foul ball at the stadium before y'all move on to your next issue.
Go ahead, man.
You know, that lady, they got people like them that will take advantage of anybody's children or child. And that foul ball is like Y'all know how to play golf?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the ball goes in the water and the bush a lot, and you lose it.
Right, out of bounds. Or a football, a penalty kick, and it doesn't go through the goal post. Or in tennis, the ball doesn't fall within the line. It don't really work. Nothing. It's not like a home run or an ace or the participant who hit the shot to signature to sign their signature on it for the child as a memorabilia.
Yeah.
You see?
It just was a bad look for her. Not making the scene of it, but the fact that you took it from a kid, because you weren't taking it from the dad. You were really taking it from the kid. It's just a bad look all around.
And in America, the dad caught it, passed it on to the kid. If your dad gets something, give it to you. When you hand it to that kid, that belongs to that kid. That's like someone hand you a gift, right?
Change possession already.
In America, the mother probably decided to go take on an action against on behalf of the child as the adult. She might even win the case and get that foul ball back.
Yeah.
In court.
Yeah.
Okay, as a civil case. Okay?
Appreciate your call.
All right.
Have you read the comment sections, though, of that?
Oh, everyone agreed my with favorite the father thing was saying, the kid. Nobody was on that woman's side.
These are the type of people that teach a kid in the schools. Like, that's what people are saying.
No one was on her side. I haven't seen a single comment that was like, oh, yeah, she got a point. Everyone is like, well, no, you just let the dad and the son have the moment.
I'm very interested to actually hear the audio, because if that's what she said, that's crazy word.
It's her section. Anyway, let's get to our final issue before football. Section. Sports marketing in the Bahamas. And why is it so difficult? I mean, that's the first question we got to ask, right?
You ever had a freestyle player Crockett Gibbs?
No, because I was like a kid in the 80s, but...
Well, no, there's a guy across social media that's made that like weirdly famous.
Uh-huh. He's on TikTok?
Yeah, TikTok and Facebook. Like, he comments on a lot of news
Perhaps
articles.
Perhaps companies should market on TikTok.
Yeah. But anyway, that's the phrase to explain.
So, you think sports marketing in Bahamas is playing a crackhead game? Yeah. My thing is, why is it not seen with the level of importance as everyone in this room sees it?
Money? Money. That's
it doesn't generate. It doesn't generate money. Or what do we mean?
To the investors, it doesn't, and that's always the concern. That's where the fight is. So to them, it's not the idea of putting money into it. It's how much money I could get back, and that's always the point of contention.
So they don't see sports marketing as having an ROI, as a good enough ROI for them to actually take the time
as an industry. Yeah, they don't see it because the industry hasn't really presented itself as credible or viable in that sense. So everything is just like, you feel like you're just doing it with like from the standpoint of being like, I want to build a community. You feel like you're just doing philanthropy in that sense.
I feel sometimes people don't know the value of what it is, and they'll accept whatever it is told to them, which is a problem because everything has a value to it. And I understand people put budgets towards stuff and they'll be like, well, it's X, Y, Z, but I still feel people undervalue themselves here.
And to that point, to me, all advertising is the same across the board, right? Because I don't see how this would be viewed as philanthropy for this, but we know and we see there's ad money spent every day with all sorts of things in several different demographics. The thing about ads is, or even sponsorship is, you go to where visibility is and you want your product tied to visibility, right?
Right.
So I think the issue here is not so much they don't see how they're going to get a return on it. They don't see sports as the thing that's going to get them that visibility. Like, right?
And you talk about return on investment. It's not just the monetary end. It's also what you're talking about with visibility. So all that compiles into
one. But that is crazy to me that you don't see this industry as having the visibility.
You know how, like...
I mean, I know. I'm not saying, like, saying it.
No, go ahead.
But let's think about this, right? What do you think of when you think of Bahamas Bowl?
Very low attended.
But the name of the game.
You asked me what I think about when I think about Bahamas Bowl.
But what do you think of the name? What do people still call it?
Bahamas Bowl.
Popeyes.
Oh, yeah.
Popeyes came in. They sponsored the game.
Right.
And people still, to this day, say, oh, it's the Popeyes game or whatever it is, like the local people.
Right.
That there is value alone, being the first one to get it. Yeah. And now every sponsor that has come in.
We got some smooth jams going on.
What is this song?
I have no idea.
But,
okay, we good.
And thank you for listening to Mellow Tunes from 10th Year Seniors before we get into this. But I just feel that people don't understand attaching your name as a title sponsor
right.
to an event is bigger than what you think. It's
or
like
to a show.
To a that, show. Yeah. But that's title sponsorship. Right. And the visibility, we'll go with visibility. So let's just throw this out there. BISS Track and Field. Pretty much 250,000 people watch that event for us.
Right.
But what they'll say is, how am I making my money back? You got $250,000.
All of those people tuning in watching and seeing your product.
Eyeballs out there.
Which is true. But at the same time, it
has But to if return. You're not going to do something.
There's no way you're telling me that all of these people putting money into this stuff that we see every day having any level of return on it. I do not believe that.
Give me an instance. See, this is where we keep going back to this conversation. Give me an instance. Give me the case where you believe, well, no, they just throw money there and nothing came back from
what
it.
What John just described
uh-huh.
as sponsoring a major event that everyone is going to sit at their office
and
watch.
Just keep in mind what I said at the beginning of my whole speech. They view it as philanthropy. And if it is presented as such, it's easier to get money.
What is the purpose of you putting an ad on television?
To get eyes on it, to feature
right.
your product.
So what we're talking about, there are very
to feature your product.
Right. There are very few monoculture moments in the Bahamas more than that track meet. Very, very
BISS,
few.
BISS, yes.
That everyone is going to turn into.
Yeah.
So if you're telling me the reason that people put ads on TV is to have their things featured where there are the most eyes, I'm telling you there are very few things in this country where there are more eyes than that.
But this is what I'm saying to you now. And I think this is about you. So let's use the Lysol and Beep right now. Lysol is the product.
Not Lysol a sponsor of the show.
Fair. Lysol could then say, hey, we want to be the primary sponsors and then do whatever comes along with that. Or they could say, hey, that's a good program. I want 5 commercials on that. And then they pay for the commercials. They put their products in front of your audience.
Right.
It does not cost them the sponsorship. The ads would be cheaper than the actual sponsorship. The question then becomes, as the title sponsor of said event, said show, or said whatever, what return on investment am I giving just for saying I want to be the title sponsor of this event?
And my question is, there are so many events like this one where people are doing absolutely none of it when it comes to sports. That's my big area.
You giving you... So, okay, let me bring this back a bit. Let's say we're talking about BISS. Let's say BISS was nationally televised, right? Or in this case, done on the sports, 10YS Sports Network. We do it across YouTube and all of our social media platforms. Somebody comes in and sponsors that, right? It's different from you saying, well, no, buy a bunch of commercials and we can play your commercials throughout. That's why most times when somebody sponsors an event, they say, hey, I need this amount of airtime for my product. I need this amount of commercials. I need this amount of live reads. Because then that puts their products in front of whoever at the same time as giving you the needs or the value you need to carry your show or production on. So it's a hand-come-hand-go situation.
And I understand that. But a lot of places don't have commercials, right? Which is fine.
And that's the
problem. Which could be a bit, but it just shows that they don't have the site to be like, they would rather go sponsor a little event that no one's going to see. Because I know price.
Philanthropy.
But you have to also think of it this way. We need to stop getting into, let's go find a sponsor a week before the event.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you find a sponsor and you're able to say, we're able to do X, Y, Z, we need you to come on as the title. Let's just say we approach someone and say, we need you to come on as a title broadcast sponsor for BISS basketball. You know what I'm saying? And what month are we in? September.
Right.
That means you could, if you strike a deal from October till the event, anytime someone says whatever event is, you have to say, this is the XYZ BISS playoffs, which will be in the newspapers, will be in the press.
Right.
We'll have you going. The whole thing is eyeballs everywhere.
Correct. But again, and this is the point I keep making, we forget the most critically important part of that conversation. Whatever event you're talking about, it has to be structured to the point that the person as the marketing lead or the operations lead that is communicating that sponsorship, that they could just drop off their package and have that be executed. So let's use a U.S. program, for instance. The conversation of what a sponsor, league sponsorship or program sponsorship gets you. That's well, spelled out. Go ahead.
Well, that's because America gets it.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. We've not established our industry to that point yet where the Bahamians get it. Nobody can emphatically say, hey, for give me the next big high school tournament coming up. BISS basketball is up first, right? Or softball, whichever
baseball,
one.
Baseball.
So nobody could say, hey, if we sponsor the broadcast rights for BISS softball, what all I get for that? You don't even know if the games are going to happen. You don't know if a rainout happens, what then happens with your money. All of that is then just turned into a conversation of philanthropy. I'm just going to give you the money to execute the vision that you have, and I push my product to the backside. That's the issue. What then happens to the person that has invested that money to say, hey, I want to showcase my product? That's why it's always easier to do just philanthropy. Hey, I want soccer to happen. I want baseball to happen. I want softball to happen. So here's $100,000. Go make softball happen for me. If it's a success or not, it doesn't matter because that's just me giving back to the community. That's different. That's
which
the difference between
that and
sponsorship.
Which is way more ludicrous when, now that you say it like that than just saying, hey, like, for example, if there's a rainout, what happens? All right, when the game's played, you get X, Y, Z done. It's going to happen. Like,
John,
say, you can no. You can say what you want to say about these leagues and stuff. When the playoffs come for the private and government schools, mm-hmm. they are played.
When the playoffs come.
Regular season, the thing about it is, and this is the issue with the leagues itself, if I go to them and say, I want to broadcast X, Y, Z, mm-hmm. they still want to dictate what time they do stuff. And but that's something where everyone has to come on board.
Right. So this is what I'm saying. You just explained it from a production standpoint. Now you go and get a sponsor to help pull that event off. How do you then explain to that sponsor, well, hey, we might have an issue because if this turns into a blowout, they could call the game halfway through, so we may not get to a lot of
stuff. They ain't calling no games. No, but this is the Bahamas. Like, they can let that blowout happen.
No, John, what I'm saying is now you have the producer has to find a way to facilitate this program to its end to ensure that the person actually injecting money to present this event gets the value they paid for.
Yeah, it happens on every sport, though. You've seen the 56-0 football games where it's been boring.
And those commercials still play. Yeah. That sponsors still mention that live reads still
you
happen.
You still do all of that. You're not stopping because
Well, it sounds to me like the onus is on these businesses to actually find ways to market their products. Why don't they should have more commercials? They should make sure their things are more visible. Because if you don't have these things in the first place, then what's your... They should have actual plans for how they plan to get out there, don't they?
Correct. So let's take the commercials. I can't believe we're having this conversation on radio. But let's take the commercial standpoint. If I make a commercial to, again...
I mean, I'm ready to go
sell
to football.
Sell my Lysol. If I make a commercial to sell my Lysol...
Right after this, I could find a way to swing it to football.
If I make a commercial to sell my Lysol here in the Bahamas, where all can I play that commercial except... If I remove social media from the mix.
I'll tell you one place that you can play that because Lysol cleans away all the bacteria. And I feel like the bacteria of boredom was cleansed away by the return of the NFL. Crazy that started on Thursday with the Eagles and the Cowboys. I want everyone to tell me their favorite moment or what stood out the most from those games. Because before we get to the rest of week one, we got to look back on the two games that we already had.
Spitgate.
John, moment of... there we go. Spitgate. Eagles, Cowboys, who spat first? Because for most of we know Dak did now, but for most of the night, Jalen Carter was the enemy.
I thought this was clarified like right thereafter.
Jalen Carter is the enemy. Jalen Carter was terrible. It wasn't until halftime that the video was revealed and everyone was like, we have a second spitter on the grassy knoll.
Nobody said that.
You mean
I said it.
Second spitter, but technically the first spitter.
The first spitter was the second spitter. Dak spat first. But here's the thing, though. Dak spat at the ground at his feet. Jalen Carter spat at his chest. And once the saliva touches any part of the body,
it's like a punch.
It's like throwing a punch.
Mucousy punch.
I want to hear Jalen Carter's reasoning for why he interpreted Dak's
initial
spit?
I saw the replay, and what it looked like is it looked like he spat on the floor, and then Dak said something.
Yeah.
We don't know what he said, I guarantee they could get audio of that eventually. But he said something, and let me tell you.
I thought he said something spot and then said something more. So I initially read it as, oh, he probably said something disrespectful about the Eagles.
I'm certain he said something disrespectful about him personally. That wasn't about the Eagles.
No, but he wasn't that close. He wasn't even making eye contact with Jalen Carter at the time.
He stepped through say something.
Right. Yeah. But that was after Dak had originally spat on the floor. So that's what I'm saying. I imagine him saying something
about less disrespectful. Did he spit on the floor or did it happen to look like he
spat on the floor?
He spat towards his feet.
He did not
spit. He didn't just randomly spit on the floor.
I'm just saying it went in that direction.
It was in his direction. So for me, the two moments stood out. Like, obviously, the weather won that game for the Eagles. Yeah, I feel like the momentum that game was going in, to me, it seemed as if it trended in favor towards the Cowboys, and that's when you came back from stoppage. Everybody was scoring. I think, like, 6 out of the 7 drives had scores, either a touchdown or a field goal, and that all came to a screeching halt. Thank you, I had the under. But, see, and the other one, CeeDee Lamb. Because what a game for CeeDee Lamb. Like
What a half!
You know why I say what a game? Because he was balling in the first half,
right?
And so then
he was
in the
doing
second
Dak
half,
stuff.
This is the one you couldn't put this game on Dak because although the numbers weren't there, Dak made the plays to win that game. If CeeDee Lamb caught 2 of those 4 drops in the second half, Cowboys probably win that game.
That's what you get when you cut our boy.
That's what you get when you cut our boy. Should have kept Denzel Dotson.
You know who won the game?
Denzel Dotson?
No.
Oh.
I'm talking about the next game.
Oh.
Herbert.
Justin Herbert. So let's move to last night's game, Chargers-Chiefs. And the Chiefs have reached rarefied Patriot-type air when this loss ain't a big deal.
No.
It's not a big deal. We're just waiting until We're just waiting until we see them in December. And I'm frankly more surprised more players didn't get the Brazilian flu, if you know what I mean. But I guess they probably get that after the game, unless they went straight to the airport and left. But
they probably did go straight. How long were they there beforehand?
I know.
I think like a day or so. The NFL flew in a lot of...
Yeah, yeah, smart.
Yeah, so...
Smart. I was going don't there like them. 2 weeks. Yeah. I was having training camp there.
Yeah. Nicaragua? Don't... Sounds like...
Ain't the same.
I mean, ain't the same. 2 weeks in Brazil would have been crazy. But... Justin Herbert, I was actually surprised that a Jim Harbaugh offense came out and they were determined that this, not just this game, but I was watching that thinking, this entire season is just hinging on Justin Herbert's right arm.
So do you think
he's going to be throwing the ball 50, 60 times a game?
It's the America curse. They can't win in America. They could win in Brazil, South America.
They can't win late in the season. I don't feel like no matter where it is. Too bad for them to play off.
I just
to be
need
in Brazil.
This season, and this is not me taking a shot at the Dolphins in any way.
Well, we dead, so.
No, but I just need this season to be the end of the Tua conversation. Like that, everybody.
But you can't end it for that game.
No, not for that game. What I'm saying
Tua
is.
Tua has some great regular season games.
But there's always going to be this debate of whether the Dolphins made the right decision going with Tua over Herbert or vice versa. And the point I keep making is they're different players. They do different things. Both are great in their own right. I don't understand why this is like still sticking that nerve.
Oh, because there's a 24-hour news cycle now and you have to fill it with something. Like, what do you think?
Nah.
We've lived this for several decades.
I
it's still
it
people in Miami debating whether Ryan Tannehill was the
because
right choice.
Here's the thing. You put Tua where Alex Smith was playing with Kansas City that year.
Yeah.
They probably win the Super Bowl because of what Tua could do. He's better than Alex Smith. But I'm just saying Patrick Mahomes is just different level quarterback that changes the dynamics of how you run an offense. Tua is a Mike McDaniels guy. Like, he's got to be in that type of system, West Coast offense.
See, and this is why I wanted to end this year. I don't want it to be a situation because I feel like the Chargers are going to have a decent run this year. But I don't want that to be like the goalpost that they move for Tua saying, well, hey, Herbert just did this. You've never done this, so now you're not a starting quarterback.
Tua ain't never done nothing.
No, every time you have two quarterbacks that are pitted against each other like that, it's going to be that for the rest of their career.
Yeah.
For most of Marino and Elway's career, people said that. That's just what it is. Anyway, let's move on to the rest of week one. We got to fly through these quickly. We only got like 4 minutes. Quick, Colts and Dolphins, go.
Miami has the Dolphins. I think Miami wins.
I'm going with the Colts, Danny Dimes.
Jets, Steelers. What we got? Oh, I'm taking the Dolphins in that one.
Of course
good,
you are.
Good in there. That is not my team. Great in the early regular season. Great early regular season team. I feel
hot
like they're going to be all right. Steelers-Jets.
Steelers.
Steelers.
Aaron Rodgers going to former team people.
I don't think it's Aaron Rodgers winning the game. I think it's the defense.
I like Justin Fields.
Like,
I think Justin.
Yes, Ronaldo has not changed.
I think Justin.
Consistency.
I think Justin Fields has a point to prove, and I think he's going to make.
I don't know what you're looking for him to prove.
Mike Tomlin, rest some things. Jags, Panthers, go.
Panthers.
What?
Panthers.
Jags.
Panthers.
I like the Panthers too.
All right, go on with yourself.
Bryce Young. Quickly stepping back up. He ain't where he's supposed to be as the number one pick.
Okay, see, that one I didn't even realize.
No.
All right. Saints-Cardinals.
Cardinals. Cardinals.
I'm going Cardinals here, but I feel kind of conflicted because I feel like everyone expects the Saints to be so bad that at some point they have to exceed expectations in one of these games.
Yeah, right? The expectations is the number one pick. They can exceed it. They get the number one pick and probably
but we know Kyler Murray's Niles boy, so...
Saints got one too. Spencer Rattler, he's super light skinned, but he's one.
He's super light skinned. That's always the line for you.
That's not the line for me. Anyway, the Commies and the Giants. Easy choice here. Commies.
Soon to be the Redskins again.
Call them the racial slurs. Until then, they are the Washington Commanders. I'm going Commanders. Jaden Daniels continues to be the superstar.
I'm excited to see what they do this year. I hope it's not a CJ Stroud situation where it's even though the regression wasn't that bad.
But that's because the team was so bad.
But man. I just want to see him succeed.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. The fact that they danced around that Terry McLaurin thing for too long, you know, he had to go back there. Yeah. I mean, Jaden Daniels had to be.
But we didn't know that. We didn't know that. We didn't want that.
It would have been crazy to me for him to have that rookie season and then you take away his best or you let his best weapon
walk. It is Washington, bro. Like, what do you expect?
I guess. Falcons-Bucks.
Bucks. Buccaneers.
I don't know, man. There's something about this Falcon.
You better start playing, bro.
What?
But they don't carpet so much. But yeah, but.
This is the year that it works. They built meticulously at this. You know what they remind me of? They remind me of the Thunder. They built meticulously. You get... No. I mean in terms of drafting the skill position players. They got the receiver in Drake London. They got the tight end in Kyle Pitts. They got the running back in Bijan Robinson. Then they get the quarterback in Michael Penix Jr.
We'll wait for that. We'll wait for that last
one. I'm going Falcons in this one. Browns, Bengals.
Boy, Browns situation at quarterback.
This should not take y'all this long.
The Browns are a good team.
It's a rivalry game. Yeah. That's the thing.
The Bengals have no defense, bro. I feel like something could happen for the Browns, but I'm going to go with the Bengals.
One word, we got to go. We're running out of time. I'm taking Bengals. I don't have a black quarterback in that one. Patriots, Raiders.
Pats.
Raiders.
Seahawks, 49ers.
Niners.
Yeah, Niners. Broncos, Titans.
Broncos.
Titans. I don't know what you thought was going to happen just now.
Packers, Lions.
Packers. No, Lions. Lions.
Yeah.
No.
You Packers, are. Packers.
Yeah, Packers.
Uh-huh. No, not because of that.
Again, next.
No, they lost Ben Johnson. Next. That's going to be a big hit to their offense. Rams, Texans.
Texans.
Yeah, obviously. Matthew Stafford's on the way out. And, well,
Ravens.
Monday night game. I got to leave our game for last. Monday night, Bears, Vikings.
Vikings.
Bears.
They got Ben Johnson. That's a bigger deal than having Caleb Williams. And for me, the game of the week.
Josh Allen needs to throw for 7 touchdowns and lose.
The people who they think are America's team, the Buffalo Bills versus the real America's team, the Baltimore Ravens, and the real MVP, Lamar Jackson.
Josh Allen by 4 touchdowns. Josh Allen by 4 touchdowns. Y'all got to stop disrespecting
him. I want Josh Allen.
He was the better quarterback last season. He deserved MVP.
No, he was
not. Josh Allen by 4 touchdowns.
He was not the better quarterback
last
season.
Josh Allen by 4 touchdowns.
Ravens, it's going to be a close game. Ravens are going to win. Lamar wins the Super Bowl this year. Lamar wins another MVP and stakes his claim on Mount Rushmore.
How much you want to bet?
That'll do it. Whatever we got. I'll bet the show.
4 touchdowns.
Guardian Radio 96.9.